Have you ever seen a video of a horse getting its hooves trimmed? Or have you maybe ever done it yourself? I remember the first time I ever saw a video of this being done, I was completely shocked and I thought this must hurt the horse. So before getting on my high horse and you know becoming a keyboard warrior, I, upon further investigation, discovered that there aren't actually any nerve endings in this hard part of the hoof. So this means that the horse wouldn't feel that any more than us getting a haircut or maybe getting our nails trimmed. I think it can be easy for us to assume that we know what is best, but sometimes without the proper information, we can make a fool out of ourselves. In the same vein, at first glance, we might think that it's unfair and cruel to cut the wool off of a sheep. This is until you see a video of a sheep walking around with all this excess weight if they haven't had their wool cut in a long time. But when they get that layer of wool trimmed, they feel like a whole new sheep because they don't have this extra weight. Sometimes we simply don't know what is best. This summer as a church, we have been going through a series called Images of God. And today I want to talk about the idea and the image of God as our shepherd. And the main point that I want to explore today is that recognizing God as our shepherd means acknowledging that he knows best. You know, it can be so easy to think that we know best. Ask any father that has ever stopped and refused to ask for directions on a road trip. I can only imagine what God must feel when he looks at us trying to make a decision that he knows is ultimately going to cause us more hurt. It must be a frustrating feeling. You know, earlier this year, I was relaxing at home and the fire alarm went off in my apartment building. And there, to preface this story, there was no fire and everything was fine. It was just a false alarm. But of course, in the moment you hear this, it's very unsettling. So I hop out of bed and I jump into fight or flight mode instantly. Now, typically, I am flight. I know this about myself. But I have learned that if my cat is potentially in danger, then I am fight. Now, if you know me well, you will know that my cat is my best little friend in the whole world. So as soon as this fire alarm goes off, my cat, she runs under the couch because this is her safe haven. And I live by myself. So in the moment, I am panicking and I discover I have to rescue this cat all on my own. And my brain in that moment didn't have the capacity to stop and think that, you know, maybe there isn't actually a real fire and I can probably stop and assess the situation and realize that I probably don't have to panic in the way I was. But my brain wasn't thinking about that at the time. So I want to preface this part of the story as well by saying that, so Belle, my cat, she ran under the couch. This couch is very heavy. This is one of those like leather reclining couches. It is not light. So at this moment, there was this adrenaline pumping through my body that gave me physical strength that I would have never had before. So without thinking, I decide to pick up my couch and I am just hoping that Belle would just run out from under the couch. But naturally she wasn't moving, she was stressed, I was stressed, the whole thing, it was terrible. And so my arms eventually are going to give out because I don't have very much upper body strength. So I decide, okay, well, I'm going to try to balance the couch on my thighs. And then same, she wasn't moving. And my body ultimately just gave out. It couldn't hold it up anymore. Thankfully, Belle was okay, but I definitely was not thinking in that moment. But see, all I wanted to do in that moment was protect her. And in the moment, she was probably terrified and frustrated. Perhaps similarly to how we might feel when God acts as our shepherd. You know, thankfully, God is a lot more eloquent and powerful than I am. So, you know, if Belle could only know that I had to get her out from under the couch and into her crate to save her from a potential burning building, maybe she would have been more willing to cooperate. God is our shepherd. And I think sometimes he might allow for us to go through something uncomfortable because he is saving us from something that could be potentially worse. And you know, this of course is a really challenging subject to approach because of course the questions should still be asked. If God is our shepherd, then why do bad things still happen to us? I'm going to come back to this question later on today, But for now, I want to explore a passage in John 10, as well as a few others, which can help us understand God as our shepherd. So let's read from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. So we're going to talk about three notable characters in this passage. There is the shepherd, the hired hand, and the sheep. Now, before that, I want to start with the context of this passage. So this is Jesus speaking at the time. He is speaking to the Pharisees, and he's using figure of speech language. And at this time, the Pharisees were desperately trying to catch Jesus in his words. They were investigating him at any opportunity they could. And you know, Jesus, he loved to talk in parables and this figure of speech language. He didn't just offer his wisdom right up front. And naturally, the Pharisees are kind of frustrated with this. They're saying, you know, just give me the information. Tell me what this means. I don't want to have to figure it out for myself. Sometimes I experience this anytime I go to counseling. I just want my counselor to fix all my problems. But of course, this isn't how life works, is it? They almost always answer a question with a question, another tactic Jesus loved to use. But another thing to note before we break down this passage a little bit more, most of the verses I chose to speak on today about God being a shepherd are actually verses about where Jesus is the one speaking. Now, does this mean that Jesus is the good shepherd and not God? Well, let's explore. For one thing, we believe in the Trinity, and we believe that the Trinity is three in one. We believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at the same time. But if you want to get very technical and theological on me, then I can still point you to a few references to God as a shepherd in the Old Testament before Jesus. A couple of those, for example, Psalm 80, verse 1. O give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So in Scripture, and specifically in the New Testament, it is a likely interpretation that Jesus is the good shepherd, but this still doesn't take away from the fact that God is a shepherd. And this series that we've been doing is, you know, it's images of God, and isn't this exactly who Jesus is? Jesus, when he was on earth, was God incarnate. So let's get into this passage and the understanding of the characters in this imagery that Jesus is creating in John 10. So we'll start with the shepherd. So journeying back to the beginning of John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And I want to read another passage as well here in Mark 6, 34, using this shepherd language. And it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Now, what are the responsibilities of a shepherd? Could be to protect from predators, maintain the wool, those kinds of things. A shepherd is also the leader of their sheep. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Now, Jesus is described as a good shepherd. So what do we think separates him from other shepherds? You know, there's probably not a lot of shepherds that would actually be willing to lay down their lives for their sheep if they're in danger. So if you're new to Christianity and the Bible, then this passage is a comparison that we can make of Jesus laying down his life for all of us on earth by taking the fall for all of our sins, laying down his life for his sheep. And you know, sheep have a natural tendency to wander off, kind of sounds like us. And sheep are in great danger when they wander off. They are easily confused and scared. Now, did anybody maybe that's watching this at home, did you ever watch the VeggieTales interpretation of the lost sheep? I remember watching that and feeling traumatized, watching the wolf circle around the lost sheep. And it's that feeling of helplessness that you see in the sheep, and you're just waiting, sitting on the edge of your seat, waiting for the shepherd to swoop in at any moment and to just save that sheep. And the shepherd does come to their rescue. But what this passage also points out to us is the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. Jesus, as shepherd here in this passage in Mark, desired to teach his sheep. He had compassion on them because he saw that they were lost. But the hired hand that we're going to talk about next, you know, they lack that same compassion. Now, for this next section, I am going to talk about the hired hand and the sheep, kind of in the same point. So I know this goes against everything you think you might know about like a three-point sermon, but you know, you can deal with it. So the hired hand and the sheep. So we're picking up again in John 10, verses 12. It says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." You know, this almost seems like a more intellectual way of the hired hand to say that risking their life for the sheep is kind of above their pay grade. And I think sometimes in life, we like to put our trust in a hired hand rather than in the good shepherd. And it's really easy to give in to the temptation and think that the temptation of this world can actually save us, when really, you know, they're not going to have our best interest at heart in this comparison with this hired hand versus the shepherd. So I want to look at another instance in Scripture where Jesus uses this shepherd language. This is Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So I saw this video on TikTok not too long ago where there's this woman and she's reunited with her cat after the cat had been missing for 7 days. And the absolute joy that was on this woman's face when her cat returned moved me to tears. And I'm sure that I would act very similarly. Like I said, my cat is my best little friend. And if Belle was missing, I would knock on every single door in my neighborhood and probably not sleep until I was reunited with her. So this cat in this video I was watching, it was missing and it had been found. You know, Jesus is expressing this very same idea here in this passage that if there's one sheep that's missing, that sheep should become the priority. Now, have you ever lost something that's valuable to you? Had something stolen, perhaps? I've had a couple things stolen that I was absolutely devastated over. Back in about 2013, I had my purse stolen, and it had a $100 computer charger. Why are those so expensive? But I also had a t-shirt that I loved and some expensive makeup, about $50 cash, and little memories in my wallet that I'll never get back. But the saddest part was that I lost my Bible that was, you know, marked up and well-loved, and it belonged to my father before he passed away. So I was very upset about losing this Bible. And another couple years ago too, I had my longboard stolen, as well as a brand new board that I had bought for someone as a gift. And I was devastated about this because I had it since about 2009, my board, and there was a lot of memories attached to it. You know, it hurts us to lose things. What about when the people in our lives are lost? This hurts too. Because a lot of the time, I don't actually think we know when we are lost. We could probably feel that maybe something is wrong, but we might not know that we are lost. And I think about this, when an animal is missing, do they know that they are missing? And in Luke 15, chapter 2 that we read here earlier, you know, it's interesting, we see the Pharisees complaining about Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners, but if you ask me, I think we could do well to follow Jesus' example here in seeking the lost. You know, we can do what we can to save the lost as well. At some point, though, we will have to trust that God sees them where they are and believe that God the shepherd will bring them home. So we said we would come back to it, so let's come back to it. When bad things happen in a world where there is a good God. You know, there's this exchange from one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and it's a scene where there's parents discussing how to protect their kids from the horrors of this world. And the one parent's argument is that if they keep the kids safely locked in this house forever and ever, then nothing bad will ever touch them again. And the other parent's response in that moment is simply nothing good will either. This is one of my favorite interactions in all of TV I've ever watched, and I actually got a tattoo dedicated to this very exchange, as it was a profound reminder that there is something so beautiful about experiencing hardships if it means that you also get to experience joy. Now, don't hear me wrong here. I'm not a person who stands by the phrase, everything happens for a reason, nor am I a person who thinks that God is so small that he has to allow something bad to happen to you first before you can experience something good. However, I do think that in this life that we live here on earth, pain is kind of part of the deal. We all experience pain, and there's a huge spectrum that exists in which we do experience pain. You know, I've dealt with some pretty difficult things in my own life. Death of loved ones, including but not limited to a parent. I've had a lot of mental health struggles, broken relationships, all kinds of things. However, I have no idea what it's like to not have a roof over my head or to not know where my next meal is going to come from. I have no idea what it's like to grow up with divorced parents. I have no idea what it's like to live through a natural disaster. I have no idea what it's like not to have freedom of religion. And I have not the slightest idea what it's like to be treated differently because of my skin color. And I have no idea what it's like to be the victim of child sex trafficking. Pain exists and it hurts. And I also don't believe that we should be playing the trauma Olympics and comparing our pain to everyone else's, because no matter what, the pain you're experiencing is still real and deserves care. However, I mentioned these pains that I have never experienced, you know, to shine light on how much darkness really is out there, so you know that I don't take this topic of pain lightly. I went and I saw this movie recently called The Sound of Freedom, and it's a film based on a true story about kids being liberated from sex trafficking. Now, there were imperfections with this movie, I think, as with anything in life. However, the message was still pretty clear, and I bawled the whole way through it. Now, I am a person who cries pretty easily when watching television, but this felt different. I felt so extremely powerless coming out of this theater. I felt like I could break into a full-blown ugly cry at any moment, which I did end up doing in the parking lot with my mom and sister after. But the whole way home that night, I felt like I was having an existential crisis. I've always felt a particular passion towards those who are victims of trafficking, but after watching this movie, I started to question again, how is this the largest growing industry in the United States when there's a good shepherd watching over this world? I think if I could have one question answered in this lifetime, it would be, in fact, why do bad things happen to good people? Or not that, sorry. Why do bad things happen when there is a good God? I don't think we're supposed to know this answer. You know, I can, of course, speculate. And in my understanding, when it comes to an immeasurable pain, such as trafficking or world hunger, I don't think that it's God orchestrating these painful events in the lives of his children. I believe Satan is behind that hurt and pain. Does it make God responsible because he's all powerful and could stop that at any moment? I don't know if I'll ever be able to answer that in this lifetime. You know, I used to think differently about this. I used to think that every minor inconvenience was from God himself. You know, I had to uncover the lesson behind it. If I stub my toe, why did this happen to me? But this starts to become evil when you put it into perspective of the larger hurt that exists in this world. And I don't know if I want to live in a world where God is orchestrating every single bad thing that ever happens. And all this being said, the whole point of this message today is about how God is our shepherd. A shepherd is supposed to protect you from danger. So what happens when it feels like he doesn't? I do think that sometimes God does put us through challenges on a smaller level to test our faith and to challenge us. But I think there's a difference in believing that God might, you know, give us a failing grade on a test. You know, or even more serious things like the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, these types of things, versus believing that God is orchestrating sex trafficking. Now, to emphasize my earlier point here, I still don't believe in the trauma Olympics. And this comparison doesn't make an experience like losing a job or a relationship any less important than anything else. Pain is still real, no matter who, what, where, when, why. However, this is just the way that my brain has tried to understand some of the pain that exists in this world while still believing that God is a good shepherd. Like I mentioned earlier, I believe that in God being our shepherd, I think that he has the power to prevent us from experiencing something that could have been worse too. And sometimes we might just see that as pain for no reason, but God with the whole picture can see otherwise. he can see, you know, the scary, dangerous, non-existent fire that I was trying to save my cat from. Or like a parent trying to stop their child from running into the street because their soccer ball just rolled into the road. And the child might be devastated that their soccer ball got flattened, but the child doesn't have the insight yet to know that greater pain could have awaited them. So, you know, you might apply for a job and be really excited and then not get it, and that still really hurts. But it might be because something, maybe God has something significantly better in store for you, even though you can't see that at the time. Also, sometimes I think hard things just happen, and it doesn't make God any less powerful. This is the reality of the sinful world that we live in. And what I still do believe as well is that God can create something so beautiful out of the hardest of tragedies. I think sometimes admitting that we are wrong can feel like one of the hardest things ever. Why is that? I think it's because typically that means we have to admit that someone else was right in this situation, and our pride doesn't always like doing this. You know, while we might not want to admit it, even recognizing that God knows better might be a really humbling task. You know, the shepherd can guide their sheep as much as they want, but the sheep will still have to make their decision whether or not they're going to follow the hired hand or the sheep in this moment. It can be so instinctual to trust ourselves before trusting God sometimes. And, you know, recognizing God as our shepherd means acknowledging that he knows best. And better yet, I actually think that recognizing God as our shepherd means really believing and trusting that he knows best. You know, this is completely easier said than done as well. So this is my encouragement and my challenge for you to take away today, is to ask yourself, do you really believe that God is your shepherd, and that he knows what's best for you, even when it seems like the world is crumbling around you? But also, what would your response be if someone approached you and asked why there is pain in this world if there's a good shepherd watching over us? What would you say? Like I've mentioned before, I don't believe that we're supposed to know the answer to this. But I believe it is beneficial to have a answer, even for yourself, and then to try to help others try to understand this as well. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are a good shepherd. God, I thank you so much that we can believe and trust in that. God, we thank you that you are faithful and watchful. God, I thank you that you love us, your sheep. And God, we confess there are plenty of times where we think that we might know better than you, but I pray that we would put our full trust in you as our shield and the one who leads us in love. God, we trust you and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.